The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is March 19th, 2015, and we're sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats. John Wood has been a good friend of mine for a number of years. He's been a contributor to the show and a big supporter. It's www.grasslandbeef.com. It's the best grass-fed stuff out there, and he's got everything from chicken right down to fish, et cetera, et cetera. Go out to his website, take a peek at it. It is so easy to navigate through there, and he's got a ton of other things. Anybody that's strength-related wants good health, especially healthy fats, I can't recommend John enough. And if you're lucky and John answers the phone, you're going to be impressed. He is a great guy. Their service is second to none. Our other sponsor today is Saugerties Chiropractic. This is the place that I go to get all my nicks, scrapes, and beatings taken care of. I've been going to Mark Colligan for about 10 years. Mark's got everything, you name it. He deals with soft tissue, drop table. He's laser. You know, he does pulsed electromagnetic frequencies. Big on sports injuries, detoxification, et cetera, et cetera. Mark is in the middle right now of putting a brand new website together to reach his office, 845-246-5020. They are in Saugerties, not far from New York City. And this guy's just good. I travel an hour to get to him and an hour home. So go talk to Mark, and I guarantee you will get results. And thirdly, today, we've got a brand new webinar, which is up on Motivation and Muscle right now. It will be next Wednesday, and it's called Becoming a Champion. And this is all about the weight loss product I've been talking to you since we've been on the air. It's finished. It's beautiful. It's easy to navigate. You can download it to any mobile device, whether you want one or 22 of the films. Explained thoroughly, and it's made for people that have to live a daily life, meaning you have to work, you have kids, you're bringing them here and there. A lot of the movements alone are body weight you can do. There's three in particular that really set the stage. And if you want to go out and see something inspiration, go out to www.fiorellobarbellco.com. You'll meet Dennis front and center. Dennis and I do an interview where we talk all about his 43-pound weight loss. It's nothing out there like this. This is totally different. We attack it from the inner of your body to change that, to get your outers to go with it. And we make it so easy from the father, mother, right down to the kids can all get into this. So, you know, take a look at it, register for the webinar, and hopefully you like it. Today, we have another first-timer here, and I've been trying to get this gentleman on probably for about 6 months, and we finally landed him, and I'm very happy because I saw him a few weeks back celebrating his birthday with a 455-pound deadlift. I'm not going to tell you how old he is. If he wants to do that, I don't give age away unless I get permission from the folks that are on the show. Carmen Caputo is with us today. He's a U.S. Marine veteran. He trained sixth graders. How would you like that? For 30 years. And he's been training for 55 years, if you can believe it. I'm like stunned when he told me 55 years. And to think he pulled 455. My God. Carmen, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your glowing comments and just lucky to be able to still do what I do, you know? I mean,
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but why don't you give everybody, you know, why don't you add to what I just said? You know, just a explanation just for Motivation Muscle folks who have never heard of you. Your story is, I've told you before, very, very inspiring to me, I'll tell you that. And I know they're going to feel the same way.
All right, sir. Thank you. I graduated high school in 1963. I had started lifting weights in March of 1960. I wanted to play football, and I only weighed about 101 pounds, and the coaches laughed at me. So I started lifting all through high school, and I graduated high school at 130 pounds, too light to play ball. But I was 17 years old when I graduated high school, joined the Marine Corps, had to get my parents' permission, of course. They signed for me. Spent 3 years with six Marines out of Camp Lejeune as a machine gunner. And when I got out of the Marine Corps in November of 66, my parents had moved to Oklahoma, where I live now, and I came here and started school and got my degree and began teaching sixth grade students. Sometimes I think the Marine Corps was easier than that. You know?
I believe that. Can you imagine if it was today?
Oh, gosh, I know it. See, I've been retired 17 years now, and I'm glad because I just don't think my demeanor would be able to handle the way kids are right now.
But no, I think the way things are right now, if you look at what's going on in the National Football League, they really want to rid the world of the Warriors. I truly believe that.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. You know,
but continue, sir. Go ahead.
One of the benefits of this, all of this, is that since I've been retired, I've had probably 20 to 30 former students contact me wanting me to help them train in the weight area. And to me, that just is awesome. You know, I mean, it tells you that you made an impact on them somehow, male and female students, former students, you know, and I've got kids who were in my first class in 1971 are now in their mid to late 50s and grandparents of their own, and they still contact me, and it just makes me feel good.
You know? Well, you made your mark. There's no doubt about that. And as we get along more of the show, and I didn't mean to walk all over you, but, you know, this right now I feel is like critical mass, especially in America. And one of the reasons why I got into the podcasting was this. I thought about when I was a kid, you know, there's people like Brooks Kubik and Milo and John McKean and, you know, Anthony DiTillo, because I used to go and buy all the older books from Bill Hinburn.
Right.
And, you know, I had a couple guys that were older, and we used to go to the Y and get the shit beat out of us by the older guys because we'd be bugging them and all that. And it was the same way, and you meet a couple people that really leave an impression on you. And, when I got started with this whole business, it was like, what were the things I always wanted to know and couldn't find? And I know it's a little bit different. I'm not that far behind the internet, but we didn't have the information like you press a button and it's right there. And I think in some ways it's a double-edged sword, because I think if you're really hungry with anything, you're going to go out and find the answers no matter what. And sometimes when things can be at your fingertips, it kind of takes a little bit out of you where, you know, you didn't have to fight so hard for it. You didn't have to maybe get on your bike and ride to a library and find a book. Or you had to hopefully maybe you seek an older guy out that, you know, will give you the time, you know, and I've always felt if somebody seeks me out, that's an honor, because that's telling you, just like you're doing right now, you made an impact on somebody, or you watch somebody train and you're like, damn, I want to, you know, I got to ask them how they did that and if I should do it. So when we created Motivation Muscle, or should I say I, those were the questions I was asking myself. What would the people out there, I don't care, now you've lifted 55 years, but I'm sure like myself, I don't care who it is, there's always something I gain out of something like this, because the content is so rich and it's out there for you. So that's why, you know, when I talked to you a number of times, Carmen, and, you know, it was like, well, I haven't done that. Yeah, you have done a lot. You've done more than most people walking around. See, I think everybody's got so much to lend. It's just they don't feel that it's meaningful. And that's the thing I've tried to establish with the show, that I can take a guy from World's Strongest Man to me or you that basically trains in their house or in their garage or in their driveway or in the woods, and guess what? We can get the best out of everybody. And I'll tell you this, sometimes the guys that are out there by themselves trying to be, you know, trying to get through workouts because maybe they don't have training partners, maybe they have to create equipment and have somebody build it. These are the people that really you want to sink your teeth into, because they've got experience. They've got the creativity and they've got the know-how. So that's why when I ask folks like you that you figure, well, you know, I didn't win World's Strongest Man. Yeah, but see, you're doing like World's Strongest Man every day to me, all right? Because you've already done amazing things yourself. But the thing is, think about this. You've got students coming to you still that long graduated that who would ever think that, you know, you've done anything like that? And I think we're sorely lacking leaders, warriors, you know, people of content that matter. They don't get the notoriety. They don't get, you know, they're working 65 hours a week and still able to train or, you know, work with their own kids or and still have a good life. So that's the main thing I want to say. So just go on. I mean, I did get a little long there, but I felt that you were so pertinent to what I'm trying to spread as a message.
I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate your comments and your compliments. The thing that bothers me today is that when I started in 1960, my first set of weights was produced and manufactured by York Barbell out of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And with that set of weights came four courses that were written supposedly by Bob Hoffman. Mm-hmm. And they outlined Olympic style weightlifting along with some bodybuilding things, but they were sensible. They brought you along at a slow pace. You made progress slowly, but you made progress. And the only magazines you could find on the newsstands were Strength and Health, published by York Barbell, which was essentially a house organ to sell their product.
Sure.
As well as the original Iron Man by Perry Rader. And some of the books that Anthony DiTillo published were sold by him, and I bought them back in the 60s, you know. Mm-hmm. And you don't find that stuff now. If you go to the newsstand, you find these things that claim to be muscle magazines, but they are just, I don't know, soft porn almost.
Yeah, they are soft porn.
You know, and it bothers me because I see these kids that are coming to me saying, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to have 24-inch arms when they're 5'8 and 120 pounds. And I'm saying, well, you're probably going to have to gain over 100 pounds to have that happen. And the only way that's going to happen is to dedicate 20 to 25 years of hard, sensible training. But nobody wants to do that now. They all want it yesterday. And it's unhealthy, it bothers me. And what I try, and I've, you know, we've all got egos, Eric. We've all got egos.
Sure.
And I like to think that I'm doing things sensibly in the right way and bringing these kids along to where they can enjoy this sport for as long as I have. You know, I'm 70 years old, and I can still hold my own with people, you know.
But don't look, and I mean, you've done this so long now, Carmen, that, you know, your body is taking on a whole different body from the normal individual. You know, I've had this talk with a lot of people. I don't care what your parents did prior to you were born, whether they're athletic, they worked with their hands or whatever. I do believe weightlifters, it's a certain sect that's in our DNA. I don't know how to explain it to you totally, but, you know, just because your parents didn't do it, there was something that happened whenever, you know, when you were created or being created. I don't know if the iron gods dropped it in your bloodstream or what, but there's you and I and everybody else are of a little bit different drumbeat out there. I think we look at things differently. I don't think we accept a lot of things. I think at times, in my own respect, I can be very rigid at times. But on the other hand, I can always be very giving and loving too. I think that we are, you know, I think if these psychobabble idiots were looking at guys like us, they probably would throw us in a hole.
Well, I agree with you. I've told my wife on more than one occasion, I'd probably be in an insane asylum if I couldn't lift.
You know? Yeah. No,
I mean, it keeps me sane, and she'll question that comment, of course. But, you know, I mean, I go out 6 days a week. And I've got a routine, and I work it. I've got a few people that come on Saturdays, and we deadlift heavy on Saturdays. And the rest of the time during the week, I work upper body, lower body, and so forth. You know, I mean, it's a combination of several styles of training, but it works for me, and I just love doing it. I don't feel right if I don't train.
I'm with you, because I'll tell you right now, with this little bang I got, and I've had to train around, and I'm used to training so heavy in the rack. And, you know, I'm telling everybody I want to go to Iceland in August. I'm a month behind now. I mean, I haven't really shared that at all. Now everybody's going to know. But, you know, things happen like that. You know, we've been trying to get the business off the ground, so I've got a lot of stuff pressing on me all the time. Can I take it? Yeah, I can take it. I mean, if it wasn't for being brought up well in a strong Italian family, and then lifting, I'd probably be sitting right by in the nut farm.
Yeah,
okay. And people don't understand that. They're like, how can this be so important to you? This, lifting weights, lifting stones, whatever you want to do, calisthenics, I don't care how you package it. I'm telling you right now, anybody that gets into this physical strength is going to find out and tell people loud and clear that to me, this is the same as putting one pant leg on at a time or being able to raise my right arm up in the air. It's like a third, I guess I'll call it a third arm, you know, like glued to me, because this is what it means to me. And this is why what we do, especially you having the years, you know, this is so essential to get these out to these kids. Because, you know, my brother's a high school football coach, all right? And, you know, we're talking, you know, the varsity end. And I've talked to a lot of other coaches and stuff. They'd rather take any supplement they can find by, once again, we're talking the soft porn mags,
yep,
where, of course, they march the girls out all greased up. They look great. They all got implants, blah, 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 blah. It's all marketing. The product probably costs them $10 to make, and they're selling it for $55 off the shelf. See, this is the thing. When the kid's telling you I want 24-inch arms, okay, I'd never say to them they couldn't. But I'll tell you what, they'll look at you with like you got five heads when you say to them, well, you're going to have to train for 30 years to even think about it.
And gain 100 pounds.
Absolutely. And the thing is, the dedication, you know, you can last 55 years in this sport. That's dedication. I mean, that's commitment and that's taking action. This is not taught anymore. I mean, I know there are still some families that have these values and stuff, but if you believe all the BS around us right now, everything's a free ride.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's been put down. Everybody's held down. If you're hell bent to live like that, you're not going to get anywhere, because you know what? Government is only going to do so much for you, and then they're going to just leave you dangling, you know?
Yeah.
And I always felt with me after what happened with losing my job and all that, I was like, you know what? The money was great, but I don't love it anymore. And if you're just doing it for the money, you're not going to last long at all. And I was like, why not take the chance and invest in yourself? Now, that's a hard thing to do for a lot of people, because they have families and they'll give you a wrath of reasons why they can't. But that's another thing that drives me insane now. When you used to read older Strength and Health or Perry Rader's Iron Man or even Milo, all right, Hard Gainer, any of those things.
The original Muscular Development, which came along from York Barbell too. John Grimmick,
yep,
was the editor, and, you know, that was good information.
Well, what I was going to get to was this. How many times did you ever hear you can't do it?
Oh, never.
Never. They wouldn't say that because they knew that obviously that could kill your circulation.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was the whole thing. The attitude and mindset wasn't like it is today. You know, you look at Sandow, any of those guys that were just built, they were not huge men, but they were cable, muscular. And these guys could put 300 pounds over their head at 180.
Yep.
I mean, these guys don't do that shit today.
Right.
So, you know, but I want to get back to your story. Let me ask you this, Carmen. When you started out, obviously you had a York barbell set. That was your first set.
Big 12
did
special.
They
sold it. They called it. It was on the back of the magazine.
Yep.
Big 12 special. It was a 5-foot bar.
Yep.
An assortment of plates from 25 down to 1 1/4 that added up to 200 pounds plus the bar, you know. Two dumbbell handles, two kettlebell handles, courses, a set of iron shoes, and a neck strap and a wrist roller. That was the Big 12 special.
That's a hell of a way to get started, let me tell
you. The deal was, I had asked my parents, would they buy that for me? And I had tried a variety of other activities and started and quit and started and quit. And my father was first-generation Italian. Both of his parents came from Naples, okay?
Yep, yep.
So he was born here and raised here during the Depression. And his attitude was, we've done this. I will do this one more thing, and if you quit, that's it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we lived in a house that had previously had been coal heated, and the basement had a big area where they would dump the coal. And he told me, he said, I will buy this for you, but you're going to have to clean the basement out and get rid of all that dust crap and clean all that out, and that's where you can set your stuff up. So I did it. They ordered it, and it arrived in March of 1960, and I started. And the minute is, I know this sounds weird, and you will understand it, and anybody else who's been bitten by this bug will, but the minute I grabbed that bar and started that first set of cleans, I thought, this is my life's passion right here.
I can identify with that totally.
And it just, it's owned me, you know. And over the years, as I read the magazines and talked to other people, I came to the conclusion, I've seen this quote, and I don't know who said it, but it was in an early Strength and Health, one of the ones that I was getting. Mm-hmm. And the guy said that the pursuit of strength is like having a greedy mistress. No matter what you buy her, she wants more. No matter what you lift, you said, damn, I should have tried 5 pounds more. And that's what wires you up to load up for the next workout.
That's awesome. That is, you know, that reminds me of like Steve Jacklin, you know, in my opinion, not only is he a great guy, but he started the whole revolution back to Iceland to
right.
lift the Hufvudstang. And I can remember him saying, and, you know, we've talked, he's been on the show, and we've talked a number of times. And he was like, you know, I can't say verbatim what it was, but it was like to the effect of, you know, the Hufvudstang stone is like a woman, you know, like your woman. It's like you got to kind of learn her, and you got to learn to wrap your arms around her. You know what I mean? And I thought that was like exactly like it, because especially if you got, you know, you're married. I'm not. I date a lot. It's like everyone's different, you know, and it's like some of them get it and some of them don't. And with what I've had at times, it's like it's kind of cool at first to have a guy that does that stuff because, you know people or people are coming up and, you know, they're always asking, hey, do you lift? And it's like, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. But after a while, they're not liking that when you're getting the attention and they're not. And you know what happens with that? That usually implodes. So it's a special woman, in my opinion, that I have not met yet that – understands it, maybe doesn't, because I really would want someone that was more athletic like that anyways. But the connection is so good there, it's not going to matter. It's always going to get stronger. And I think weightlifting, what we do, I mean, you're a Marine, and you know the sacrifice, yep. And they put you through some shit. But, you know, I think lifting is a lot like that in the extremes of You really gotta learn to bend your mind. If you're really into this, this stuff is gonna test you and test you hard.
Every day.
You're gonna have go ahead.
Every day it tests you, you know. And you're right. And some of the things that I learned in those first 3 or 4 years of lifting helped me get through boot camp and helped me survive after that. Because it's a mental thing. You've got to believe that you can do it. It may not happen immediately, but you put your mind to it. You formulate a plan, you work the plan, and eventually it will come to bear, you know. And I'm with you on the lady thing, because I dated several women that said at the time, you know, I like the way you look. Can we go out tonight? And I said, well, let me do my workout first, and then we can. But no, I don't want to do that. And, you know, and I'm saying, well, if you like the way I look, then you're going to have to put up with this, because it doesn't come just by sitting here drinking a Crown and Coke and having a cheeseburger, you know. You've got to put time in the gym. And the thing that got me is this: the lady I've been married to for 38 years now, we started dating, and I was teaching school, and I was working a part-time job at the local Y here to make ends meet, because teachers don't make diddly squat, you know. So I'm working the night shift, and she comes in the gym, and I said, hi, how you doing? And she said, well, I came to watch you lift. And I told myself, you're going to be my wife one of these
days. Definitely, man, because right there she's making a commitment
to you. I said, you're a keeper. I'm not throwing this one back in the lake. You know, I'm not rebaiting my hook here that we're done, you know. One thing led to the other, and we've been together 38 years, and she is my biggest fan and biggest supporter. We go to the meets, and she's in the front row taking pictures and hollering and screaming and carrying on, you know. Nobody does anything by themselves. You got to have support. And if you have the right support, you're invincible.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, and once again, congratulations on 38 years, because there's a milestone right there. You know, you look at today, and it's not everybody, and I'm not lumping everybody. You know, it's you're all disposable heroes now. And how many things do you see people staying together like that? It's very uncommon when it used to be common, because, you know, it's usually the first thing that arises. It's like, screw you, I'll just go get somebody else. So, you know, then you're 40 years old and you're buying shoes for yourself all the time, you know, and she's wondering why I can't get a guy. Well, you know what? Maybe it's you too. You know, it's not just the guys. You're making bad choices. That's the bottom line. Hey, I look at things like my parents. The whole deal with Fiorello Barbell and Motivation was all inspired, obviously, by a job loss. But my brother Jim, who was a year younger than me, died of muscular dystrophy as a teenager. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I equate like you do. You know, my father has passed away, but my parents were always together. I can't imagine the pressure they had on him all the time. Because I look at it like today, most people would either put Jimmy in an institution or they probably would have split up.
Right.
And I'm like, my parents would do neither. And I've seen both ends of health, and I've seen, you know, someone that basically was wheelchair bound that we passed away. There was nothing wrong mentally. We took him everywhere. Yeah. I mean, you never heard the kid complain. It's like I said on other shows. We'd be playing ball, and I'm watching him, and he's laughing. I'm like, how the hell can he sit there and watch this? It was incredible, to the thing where I don't think he ever accepted it, but he lived with it. And I thought that, you know, and that all had a big mark on us. We're all in either weightlifting. My sister's a black belt. Obviously, you don't think at the time as a young kid what this does to you, but it definitely made a mental mark on me that nothing ever will in my life. So when I hear people, you know, I'm bitching a little bit right now about stuff, but it's like, it's nothing that he dealt with.
Right.
And it's like, I can correct this one way or the other. And it's like, when I hear all this crap about this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, a lot of people don't know about Jim. And I'm like, just shaking my head. I said, you don't know how damn good you got it,
exactly, man.
You know, so yeah, that's the thing. It's, I do it myself. I take my health for granted. I know I do at times. You know, like, okay, I can pop out of bed at 5 or 5:30, start working, okay? I can go out and do this, or I can bring this there, or I can get this here. And it's like you never stop until, like, you know, a lift. And you know, I know when I tore my bicep in Iceland, I was like, holy shit, what am I going to do now? You know, it's like, and once you calm down, you can figure things out. But things like that can be very devastating, especially to a lifter, because you and I both know when you're used to going out and just manhandling stuff day in, day out, year after year, and then suddenly something puts the brakes on, that's when you find out what you are.
See, and that's exactly what I'm having to deal with right now.
Yep.
At my age, I was doing, for me, I think I was doing pretty good up till about 63, 64 years old. Mm-hmm. When I was 63, I set an AAU bench press record for that from 60 to 64, 365 pounds.
Okay? Oh, oh.
But since that was at 198.
Yep.
Since I turned 65, everything has slowed down and in some ways just backed off. Mm-hmm. You just don't do. And the problem with strength athletes is we have memories, and you're in that gym and 400 pounds is killing you when you say, I used to get reps with this and I'm lucky to get a single with it now, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, that's where your mental toughness comes in, because you got to keep on plugging. I know I will never bench 365 again, but dadgummit, I can still hit 300. And if not, I'll still hit 275, because I will not quit. You know, I mean, that's just one of those things. The way I was raised, what the Marine Corps taught me, and what I've learned from lifting, if you quit, you lose. You know, I will stop lifting when they light the match and say, okay, it's time for you to be turned into cinders here.
Well, I agree with it, because I've had some friends, good friends, that were really good Olympic lifters and athletes. They started getting banged up. A few of them got hurt where they had to have some stuff done. They were never the same again, Carmen, because these were guys that were strong guys mentally too.
Yep.
I don't know if it was a period of time or what, but they broke.
Yeah.
And they're still training, but, I mean, I don't expect them to be, you know, jerking over 300 overhead anymore. These guys are like, some of them are like maybe 50 now, and I got it. I got the whole picture, and I know there's going to come a day that, you know, that I'm going to have to probably, well, I don't even want to say it, because I don't. I mean, that, but we all got it at some point. But the whole thing is what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to still grow. And maybe you're not put, maybe you've lost 50 pounds on your bench, but mentally you're still growing. But bodily you're still out there doing things. These are the things that keep you going. You know, I don't know about you. We got a lot of longevity in both sides of my family. My grandmother lived to 108, all right? She didn't start really giving out. She couldn't. She wasn't mobile for about 4 or 5 years, but she didn't give out mentally till about the last month, which was pretty sad. But and my grandfather, Italian, 90 years old, you know, drinking the raw eggs every morning, the whole deal like that, where they tell you if you do that, you're dead of salmonella. But whatever, it didn't kill him. You know, he had a good head. He had a big old brush cut till the day they put him down. And the thing is this. Regardless what you and I do in the next 10 years or whatever, and if I know I'm not going to be lifting 400 plus pound stones probably in 10 years. It's just not going to happen. I won't have anything left on me. And frankly, there's a lot of other things I'm looking at getting into, a lot of the older strength stuff too. But to just shore this up, it's like this. We've been really given a privilege here. And I always look at it this way because how many of us get to do something we really love? I mean, I got that times two right now, okay? And it's like this. Even though maybe we don't have the pit bull bite like we used to, we still got it, you know? But we just can't go like that anymore. Or if we can go like that, maybe we can only go once every 2 weeks like that. But the whole thing is you can still do it, man.
Exactly.
That, you know, it's not like – look at you're 70 years old. Think about how many people at 70 are in a home for all, you know, that are drinking out of, you know, got a drool cup. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, bad things happen to good people. I realize that. But there's a lot of people that had an opportunity to change their life and chose not to. And now they're either all crippled up or, you know, they're mentally having problems. So weightlifting, this type of channeling of energy, the power that you have, there's nothing that matches it out there.
You're exactly right. And see, that was one reason why it took so long for you to convince me to do this, because I really did not think that what I'm doing is anything special. But all these young guys that work out with me, they're all young enough to be my grandkids.
Yep.
And they kept telling me, look around, old man.
Yeah.
Who else is doing what you're doing? And I'm thinking, yeah, but it's not compared to what I used to do. It's not worth it. And they say, yeah, it is. To keep it in perspective, what do you tell us, you know, the people you associate with? You go to work at the health department, you go to work at the grocery store, the people you hang with outside of the gym, who can pull 350, you know, nobody. So
nope.
But my goal has always been, when I first started till I'd stop, I know I'm never going to be a world champion or Olympic champion, but I want to be as strong as I can be for as long as I can be. And that's what motivates me.
Well, yeah. And you know something, and I couldn't tell you, I've told you this a number of times, I couldn't be happier you're on here. I want you regularly on, because the message that you're laying out here needs to be heard by everyone. I don't care where you are. Do you know how many kids right now, if you and I were live somewhere talking about this, we'd have a room full of kids that would just be like, take me.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that. I'm not saying everybody, all right? But there's success in what we do. There's success in everything we do. It's not only verbiage. You go out and you can show a kid just how to do a squat or a deadlift or a press.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Just like you said, the first time you touched that bar, you knew it just like me. The first time I touched that, I said, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it till it breaks me in half. I don't care. Yeah. Because it satisfies a primal urge in you too, because – people today don't want to hear anything about manliness, primalness, if there's such a word as that, but or primal, whatever you want to call it, aggression, all these things encompass what we are. And women are aggressive, too. They're usually even more aggressive. Yeah. Point of the matter is, I feel this is the only stuff I've ever been able to do that I could get away with where you wouldn't get put away. And maybe eventually they'll put you away for that.
That's good, though, you know, because it allows you to burn that aggression off, you know.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
My thought, too, for that is, okay, I know this sounds old-fashioned right now, but I am the man of the family. And the way I was raised, the man takes care of his family. And I need to be able to protect my wife and protect our property. You know, and what the lifting has done for me, it's given me a fair share of strength, plus what the Marine Corps taught me, I think I can handle that chore, you know?
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know something? Contrary to a lot of things you hear with women, and they're not all like that, because I've had many that were lifters and strong and all that say, you know something? You're the man. I want you to take the lead.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, you don't hear that a lot now. Oh, I don't need you. Well, I got news for you. Women like, I'm talking a real woman. I'm talking someone that, I wouldn't date a girl that never had brothers, because brothers make all the difference, in my opinion, at least with anybody I dated, because they obviously know guys, they've been probably beat on by their brothers and beat back. It makes for a lot better woman. Plus, I learned this from an old Italian guy. He told me years ago, said, always see... You always the woman that you're dating, always if she her father's still around, always see her relationship with her father, because if she has a poor one, get the hell out of there as fast as you can, because you're never going to have a good relationship. And that's what he told me. I do that too. So I think the whole thing is, it's like, if you want things to last like that and you know, make them happen like that, this stuff affords you everything. And you know, like getting back to the kids. You know, I'm going to have a kid, one of my best friends who welds a lot of my equipment, we're going to market. His kid just turned 14, and he's like, he goes out and watches the videos and listens to Motivation Muscle with his friends, and he's, you know, I want to go over there with Eric. I need to train with him. So he's going to start training within the next few weeks with me. I got to tell you, I can't wait, because they're a sponge, man.
Oh,
and if you do it right with them, okay, and you don't send them out with their tail between their legs like broken, I'm going to get a chance to help this kid not only get better in the sports he's playing, but I'm going to get, because his father's the same style as me, another Italian, very strong-willed, you know, disciplined, but, you know, within reason.
Right.
But he's already got a base for me to work with because of his family life. Now, I can't tell you, man, how much fun I'm going to have with this kid. I know it, because he's hungry. Go ahead.
The greatest thing for me is to see them at any age, whether they're 14 or 20 or in some. I've got some people that are 30 years old and older training with me.
Yep.
So the greatest thing for me is to see them come in. It's just like when I was teaching school. They come in a clean slate. You show them what to do. They start doing it, and then you see this progress happening. And the look on their face and the way that they change physically and emotionally, the way they carry themselves when they see that that confidence is building, and they say, hey, this is cool. Blast. I am getting strong. And they just, everything changes. That's my reward. And just seeing that happen, I just love to see that, whether they're male or female. I've got a 57-year-old grandma who lifts with me. She's been lifting with me for a year and a half. She's a gym teacher at one of the grade schools here in our town, and she came to me through a mutual friend. And when she came to me, she couldn't deadlift 60 pounds. We did that picture on the Strong and Over 40 website of me doing that 455. She lifted in that meet with me. She set a state women's masters record for Oklahoma for ladies in the 55 to 59 group. She pulled 250 pounds.
That's awesome.
At 140 pounds body weight. And I'm thinking, that is friggin' awesome.
It is. And you know something? You don't want, I would never say anything to put them down, but I'd like to just ask them, what took you so long?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but you know something? The media has fed the public that, you know, big muscles are useless. You know, it's always some excuse, you know. Oh, you don't want to do that because you get hurt or this. Let me tell you, man, you could trip on your stairs and break your goddamn neck.
Right.
You know, it's like I'm so tired of this thing where it's like, let everybody, you know, just do their thing, and, you know, there's nothing wrong. You don't have to be strong, and, you know, people aren't going to judge you. It's like, I look at them, I say, screw you.
That's right.
You know, it's like, I want to be strong. I want to be a man that can be depended upon. If something happens, I want people to come to me if I'm around. Right. Those things, and it's nothing to do with ego either. It's to be, you need people that can step out, make this, because look at everything that's going on around us. I'm looking at things just locally in Albany. Nobody can make a decision.
Well,
we got to put a board together. Yeah. We got to spend this. It's like, in the meantime, the town's burning down, man.
Step up.
Oh, yeah. Nope. Well, that's why I always say we're going to get 1 million people listening to this show, and I truly believe it, because I think this message is lacking in from a 10-year-old right to a 70-year-old or 80-year-old. That your era heard more of this, but you know something? We need to remind them still. And we need to remind them that, you know what? There's people out there your age doing magnificent things. There's younger people. We got to get to these young kids, man. We got to get them off the phones and get them into some type of physical training and let them know that, yeah, you can use that thing if you want, but you know something? You're going to use anything if you're not strong.
Right.
If you're sickly and weak, good luck to you.
I've got people. When I was working, I had some folks on my staff at the school I taught.
Yep.
There was me and the gym teacher. We were the only two guys on the staff out of about 30 people, which is typical for elementary school, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of these ladies would run for exercise, which is fine.
Yep.
And they would tell me, you need to run. And I said, no, I don't. I need to do what I'm doing. I get my cardio through deadlifts and squats. That's not going to get you anywhere. But you know what? When we had stuff delivered to the school, who did they call to move that crap to their classroom?
You.
That's right. And I say, where's your running coming from now? Well, you know, I mean.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I know. But you know something? Well, everybody's quick with the tongue. That's the whole thing. And it's like, unless you've been standing outside or downstairs or out in a cold garage lifting and busting your ass for years, I don't even want to hear it. You know?
Exactly.
When I went to Iceland in '08, right? Whoever figured, you know, Bill Crawford and I both blew biceps. It's typical and strong man, you know, with stones and tires. Did I want to go and get that? No, that was definitely not. And I came home and it was not a pleasant thing for me. I never had a major injury. You know, you have a lot of apprehension, even a guy that's been doing it and has got monster confidence. You know, you're like, okay, where am I right now and what do I want to do? You know, and those are big decisions. And then, you know, we go again in 11 and we get caught in a storm in November. And, you know, we really were lucky we got out of there alive. It was that bad. And you got to keep hearing the typical crap where, well, you never should have went in November. You know, well, I got news for you. It was warm here that year like you wouldn't believe, in the same way in Iceland. And the winters here in the Northeast are colder than they are in Iceland, so everybody knows that. That's the deal. Well, obviously, you get home. Did you lift it? Yep. Did you get around? No. I couldn't even see in front of me, let alone, you know, if I ever slipped and fell, it was icing up everything. I would have been killed with that thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I tried to tell you, you know, I mean, why would you go in November? And blah, 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 blah. And I heard that from multiple people, and I was like, I'm going to tell you something you're not going to understand. I was ready, and I wanted to go. That's the code I live by. You know, I'm not going to take my life, obviously, and try to snuff it, all right? But you know something? Like when I tore the arm, I remember one of the guys saying they're funny as hell. You know, they got the old Viking talk, the accent and all that, and they're like, Eric, you know, you have a permanent scar now from Iceland like that. And at first, I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and now I'm like, good, I'm glad I do. I've got something I'm going to take into the next world with me, I hope. And then, you know,
badge of honor.
And the same thing with when we got caught in that crap. Look, I could have waited till next year, but I didn't want to wait till next year. I was ready to go. And it's like, I don't understand. I understand the way people are, because most people, you know, wouldn't even come out of their backyard. But to take a 4.5-hour trip to another country, you don't know where anything is, and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Carmen, that's the fun of the whole adventure, man. You know, put yourself out there. It's like I said to them, I said, how many people do you think lifted that stone? I know a number of strong men that probably wouldn't even go near that thing because you know what? If they got their ass throttled, there's everything about them would be dead with it. I don't care about that. You know, I think if you're truly into strength, you're not afraid to put yourself out on the line. And I was so intrigued just by whose DNA is on that stone.
Well,
man.
And you know what else?
Yeah.
If you only experience winning,
yep,
you're not pushing yourself hard enough. Every once in a while, you have to get your ass handed to you to keep you humble and say, okay, I need to reload my routine here and start working a little bit harder.
No, you're right.
If you win every time out of the box, you're not doing it right because you're either working out with a bunch of wusses who are way below your level or you are just not pushing yourself hard enough, you know, because gravity in iron is relentless. It just beats you. And so if you beat it every time, you're not lifting enough. You've got to leave it all on the floor. And just when you come in the house, my wife will tell you, I come in on Saturdays from pulling and I'm worthless. I clean up and she feeds me and then I'm dead on the couch for the rest of the day.
You know,
and it's always been that way. Even when I was in my 30s, it's always been that way.
Yeah, but that's a good effect. You know, that it's like, all right, I trained my ass off today, and here I am, and I'm going to recover, and my wife is taking care of me, and she's got no problem with it. You know, it's a lot of fun. They always say the journey, I guess, to a point, but what I've always loved about lifting more and everything, it's like, okay, what can I do here to get better? Or if I'm not doing it right, what other movement do I want to look at? Or I'm alone and all I've got is a power rack. How do I build this piece of equipment to fit in there to fill my needs because I don't have spotters and with what I'm doing, I don't want spotters. You know, I love the – if you're that type of mental mind, I love that creative side of you. And I think – see, what always intrigued me, like I have lots of nieces and nephews and most of them are very young, you know, from 13 down to 4. And I love to watch them and I'll tell you why. Especially when they're drawing and doing things, they're so damn creative without even probably knowing it because nobody's told them, you know, they haven't heard 30 years of, you can't do this, and why do you want to try this, and why do you want to go here? And what I find with lifting, it's the same thing. You suddenly latch on to things and you're like, okay, well, how can I make this better? Or what can I eat that's going to make me stronger? Or if I get an hour more sleep, am I going to recover? See, this is what I think this teaches you that transfers over to you personally, like we capped on before. And that's why I get such enjoyment, like, with those kids, because those are things that, you know, eventually they're not I'm sure they'll still be creative, but once you're out in the concrete jungle, a lot of times all you hear is, no, what if, can I? And you wonder why these kids are 18. And the sad fact is you see so much suicide rate. I mean, where did their confidence go? Who took them and stamped them into the ground like that?
Right.
When I read things like that or you hear like just kids saying, you know, I'm lost, I don't, you know, this, that. I mean, that really bothers me. That goes to the core of me because we've got something that we do. And I'm not saying they have to lift weights. They could do body weight, anything. But get physical and get out there. And I'll tell you what, I would tell anybody that's never done this stuff, I'm telling you, if you go out and give this a chance, this will be the best thing you ever did.
I agree with you because, again, if you're doing free, you know, just calisthenics, you're still testing yourself.
Sure you are.
You know, and that's what this whole activity is about. Every day is a test. And some days you pass with flying colors, and other days you barely squeak through, but you're still testing yourself. And if you have one of those barely squeak through days, then you reload, rest up, eat a little bit, come back the next day with a more aggressive attitude. And that's what it's all about, is just being relentless, not quitting, saying, okay, I've committed to this activity. And in my case, I've got a 20x20 metal building in the backyard that I've got stocked. And I there are days I'm thinking I'm tired and I look out the window and see that. Yeah, but you got all that time and effort in that. You better get your butt out there and do something. And that's what keeps it going, you know. Yep. And by it's like that carrot in front of the old horse in the wagon that just keeps you plodding along. I still have things I want to accomplish, you know. And I know that those days, when I was 53, I pulled 600 in a meet here, in a local meet here in Oklahoma, and I haven't come anywhere near that since, but at least I did it once.
Yeah.
And I, all I can say is if 455 is the best I can do, then that's the best I can do. And as long as I know I didn't slack off, that's the thing. And when I get finished and I look in the mirror and I say to myself, you gave it everything you had, then I'm happy. If I look in that mirror and say, you didn't, yeah, you kind of ticked off a little bit, then it's on me, you know?
Yeah.
And I just can't abide by that.
Well, and that's a great thing, because I'm sure even when you did the 455, you had to have a grin from ear to ear.
Oh, I was happy, no doubt, because the thing was, my son had pulled 450. I told him, I said, that ain't not. Now, see, Dad's still in charge, right?
Yep, absolutely. But you know something? You know, it's you know, I don't know if you watched the movie, but I'm a big Rocky fan.
Oh, yeah.
I think the last one, Rocky Balboa, was fabulous. And I think he should have got a lot more. But, you know, I like I said, sign of the times. And, you know, you look at, you know, when they're saying the old war horses and all that, it's like, just because, you like you said, I got a few years on me doesn't mean basically like I'm dead and gone. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
You know, this notion that, you know, you hit a certain age, it's over, it's all BS. It's always been BS. And I think it's a great way to find an easy way out if you're that type of person.
Yeah.
But, you know, when he's having that dialogue with his son out in the street, which I thought was one of the best things I've ever seen in any movie. I mean, he's telling this kid basically, you know, somebody stuck a thumb in your eye and told you're no good, you know, and that's a lot of what's going on. And, you know, it is rough out there. And this thing that they're being taught now where it's like, oh, everything's going to be all right, and you don't have to strive. You know, we don't want anybody to be any better than anything. Well, how do you think we're ever going to get good with anything if we don't have people? There's always going to be better lifters than you and I. There's always going to be better surgeons out there. That's the way the world works, and that's how now they're taking things and just crushing it all into one thing. We're never going to have leaders or anybody that's going to stand out, because, by God, if you do that, you're going to make somebody feel bad.
Right.
Well, guys of our mentality, I mean, I wasn't in service, but you're a Marine. You know from that end what's going on. But you've been out in the weightlifting world, and I think the weightlifting world has big credence out there among everything. If you know what you're doing, if you're in with the right people, because I've never, you know, like you, Italian family, my father's very disciplined, you know, today he'd be probably called, I don't know, you know, just not touchy-feely. You knew him. I knew that he loved us. We had a great home. We never went without with anything. But he was not a guy that was, like, warm and gushing, okay? Never nasty or anything like that to you. But just, you know, he wasn't going to come over and give you a big fat kiss on the cheek. That's just the way it was. That's how they grew up. That, you know, but it was never anything else, you know? And lifting, you know, I wish I had a chance to see my father other than go visit him at the cemetery, because I feel that the way he did things prepared me for a lot of things. And I think he gave me a lot of toughness like that too.
Right.
And maybe at the time you don't understand a lot of it, but today, I mean, I would love to be sitting right with him having a beer or a bourbon and saying, you know, you might have been a hard ass on me, but you know what? You prepared me for a lot of the things out in the world, like where when you have a Rocky Balboa telling his son, it's like these things you don't understand as a young kid. If you pay attention and you really understand the discipline of it, it will prepare you for later life, because, by God, there's so many people out there that are just lost.
I don't know if you've seen this or heard this before, but I saw this in one of the more recent Milo magazine issues
came
within the last year or two.
Yep.
And the guy who was writing it said, whether you tell yourself you can or you tell yourself you can't, you're right either way.
Yep.
You know, and it's all about the mental aspect, and that not just for lifting, but for life itself. You know, I mean, I was 22 years old when I started college. Everybody from my high school class had already graduated or was working. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm in freshman level classes with these 18-year-old kids, and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. But then I thought, no, I have a goal. This is what I want to do for my career and my life. I want to pay back to society the good things that society has given me, and the only way to do that is to educate people into we have here. And so that helped motivate me, you know. Everybody's got to have something that pushes them. If you don't have that, then you're just going to spin your wheels and you're not going to accomplish anything, and you're going to wind up one of these people that says, what the hell happened? Here I am, and my life has passed me by, and I haven't done anything. Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that?
I totally agree, Carmen, because I'll tell you what, one thing, because of this business, we've talked about it. You know, I had some family in here last week from the West Coast, and, you know, we were talking about everything and how far this has come. And I said, I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave something good, whether somebody takes this or a son or a daughter or whatever. But I don't want, you know, I don't remember who the guy was that said it, but he's like, if you walk through cemeteries, there's a lot of, you'll hear a lot of voices saying, I wish I could have done, or, you know, and there's a lot of truth to that, because regret is one of the worst things you can ever have in your life. And it's like, why wait till you're like 65 years old and suddenly you're falling apart, or even 50 year olds are falling apart? I mean, you look at people now, younger and younger, they're dropping dead. You know, that should be a wake up call to people. It's like, hey, don't take things for granted. I mean, you know, I could be here today and gone tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. And it's like, you know, if you have talents, if, you know, this is why on these shows, I've even had like entrepreneurs on that have started businesses, because I know that, I know what we're trying to accomplish here, but being an entrepreneur and not having a lot of money to start this whole thing, I wanted to get people on that, you know, maybe some of the listeners are on the fence, or maybe they're in the same situation that I was, and they're like, if I only knew how, all right? Yeah. So this is why I bring people in on occasion like this, because I think it's really important sometimes, you know, like what we're talking about here today, you know, just the motivation, the ability to do things, not live with regret. How do we know who's listening to say? This could be somebody that is so distraught about their life, and they hear this podcast with you and I, and they're like, you know what? I can dust myself off. Yeah. Can find a way to do it. And you know something? Who knows the influence we're going to have on somebody? It's very important. I can't say it enough.
I had a sign that I had hanging in my classroom from day one until I retired.
Yep.
And it said, what happens to you is not important. How you deal with it is.
Yeah.
Because no matter how hard you study, you're going to blow a test from time to time.
Yep.
If you're going to let that sink your boat, then you're not worth much. You know, you just got to deal with it, retool, regroup, refocus, and come back and own it. And it's the same thing with lifting. You know, some days you eat the bear, some days the bear eats you. It's very simple, you know. And you make a choice every time you walk in that gym. Am I going to be a teddy bear today, or am I going to be a grizzly bear? You know, so, I mean, and I'm a little wacky and weird, but that's just the way I operate, you know.
Well, I'm probably right in the group with you, because we are a certain breed of people, and that's why I think that we're a little bit off to what some people think. But you know, then when they meet you, they're like, "Wow, you know, I never thought you were like this." And I was like, "Well, you know what? I might lift, but I can put sentences together, and I do know how to talk, and I do know how to associate with people." But you know what? I don't need a lot of that. See, I don't need that stimuli like that, you know, going around saying, oh, I lift, or, you know, hey, nice to meet. Well, I'll tell you what, I could go anywhere and conduct myself any way I want to do. You know, like when we're doing this stuff, you got to be a certain personality to be able to host things like this. You got to vocally know how to speak. I mean, I've been told by people that, you know, this guy is more polished, you're a lot more raw. Well, this is my personality. Could I tone it down, or could we maybe not use, you know, swear words at times? Because I really can't with iTunes, because they'll rip you out. Yeah. But the thing is, I'm a man that is very proud of his testosterone, very proud of his will. And you know what? I want to get that across to guys and girls. It's like, look, you don't have to be a daisy for anybody, all right? Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if you go out in public – or you're out with your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, conduct yourself. You know, because people are always looking for guys like us to be assholes, okay? Yeah. They like that because then they can say, you know what? They're just like the rest of those lifters, man. You know, they're shallow. They're all punks. You know, they're bullies, all that. The best way to deal with people I've met like that, too, is you just kill them with kindness, right. As my college professor, Mr. Klein, used to say. So that's the thing. But we're gonna wind down with the show. Just tell me anything else you want, and I hope you'll come back on because I got lots of questions for you.
I just had a blast doing this. It was not as traumatic as I thought it was going to be. You are easy to talk to and to talk with, and I appreciate the kind words you had regarding me. And next time, I will be glad to do this. Just contact me and let me know when. And maybe next time we can talk more about how and what I do when I train, if you want to. I don't, you know, it's your show, and I'm just visiting you, you know. So,
why don't you, Carmen, give out. Now, you do have a Facebook page, right?
Yeah.
Okay, anything you got like that that's pertinent to what you do, you can give that out here now. Then I'll give my information. Then we'll talk for a minute off air.
What are you referring to as far as?
Well, do you have whatever your Facebook? What's the Facebook name you use if someone wants to search you out?
Caputo's Gym.
Okay.
At gmail.com. You know.
Okay. Perfect.
And that'll get you to that. And I joined that Strong and Over 40. On Facebook, you can probably find pictures and things there too.
Yeah, if you go out and just do a search on Strong and Over 40, they can find it. That's not a problem at all. Okay. You got anything else?
Not really. I just, you know, I'm an old man and I don't, this is about as technical as I get, buddy. And my son had to help me set this up.
That's not a problem at all. But, you know, when I get everybody on, I do like to push whatever they got, and you know, I try to help you out that way for the appreciation.
I understand what you're doing, but I'm happy to still be kicking around and doing what I love to do, which is be a husband and a father, and keep lifting, and just a happy guy.
Let's hope another 100 years.
I hope so, brother. I hope so.
All right, so this is Motivation Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats. That's www.grassfedbeef.com. We're also sponsored by Saugerties Chiropractic. That's the one yours truly goes to. You can reach Mark at 845-246-5020. And remember this, next Wednesday we've got our free webinar, Becoming a Champion. Go out to MMMotivationandmuscle.com and register for it. It's free. Wait till you hear the stuff we're talking about losing weight, and that's in respect to Dennis, who's still a client of mine and a friend, lost over 40 pounds in 6 months, and it's a phenomenal story. And you'll hear it if you go out to www.fiorellabarbellco.com. You can see the whole video of Dennis and I talking. If you look at before and after pictures, I've had people tell me they didn't believe it was the same guy. He looked basically like he was pregnant. That's how big his stomach was alone. So I give kudos to him. We worked very hard, and like Carmen said, you know, you got to get out there and bust your ass with that, whatever you do. You make lifelong goals like this, and you look at him, you know, 70 years old, the guy's still hitting the throttle right to the floor. I mean, I can't, you know, I want to live to 150. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I want to be able to do this stuff forever. If you've never done it, you really don't know where we're coming from. We're giving you great descriptions, but here's what I would tell you. Get out and learn it. And if you got any questions, you can contact me at FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Write us a review. If you like what Carmen and I did and you'd like to hear something specifically, I'm sure I can get a hold of them, and we could do a show for you. Let's see. We are on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, and we are on, Twitter. It's Fiorello Eric. And obviously, you know our websites, but I'll give them to you again. www.fiorellobarbellco.com, www.motivationand, that's andmuscle.com. Check us out. Let me see. I put up a new podcast yesterday. There will either be a new one up tonight or tomorrow because I've got to get an awful lot of them out there. We got the best guys. We got a brand new show coming in May. Well, really two shows. Wait till you see the strongman shows we're going to be doing with rotation of some of the best guys out there. And we've got a great show coming up all about training for high school and college athletes. And the person that's going to do this to me with me is let me think what his name is. I should know his name by now. Gareth Denyer. He's a strength coach down in Texas. This gentleman has put out 100 Division I football players. So he knows the game. So look for that. And we've got a couple other ones. We're just waiting to see if we get confirmation with everything. So, Carmen, thanks for being on Motivation and Muscle,
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. And I really look forward to another time if you want to have me.
Yeah, I'll have you. So just hold on one second, and we're going to sign off. For Carmen Caputo, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. And you know what I always tell you. Get out and kick some steel, stones, whatever you're around. But most of all, go touch somebody's life. You know, go help somebody. There's a kid, a middle-aged or an older person, I'm sure, that would welcome you into physical strength and culture. So have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.